Welcome to Spiritually Fit with Chris Forte, the ultimate mind-body-spirit workout to help you live a more purposeful life. Now, here's the host of Spiritually Fit on Empower Radio, Chris Forte.
Hello, humble warriors. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the Spiritual Fit Show, the ultimate body, mind, and spirit workout. Grateful that we could spend a little time together today. Each week, the intent of our show is to discuss certain practices you can use to get or keep yourself in tip-top spiritual, physical, mental, and emotional shape. We call this practice spiritual fitness. Spiritual fitness is an enlightened daily practice which is intended to enable you to slow down, look within, handle the obstacles in your life with grace, and ultimately live a more purposeful life. These easy-to-apply 7 daily practices can help anyone who is looking to transform their life. In today's show, we're going to talk about yoga, meditation, and a healthy nutrition lifestyle. As part of the spiritual fit lifestyle, these practices have many benefits from physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. And this is a practice that can help enhance your body, mind, and spirit connection. And I have a great guest here that we're going to talk about these subjects. But before we get started, for anybody that's new, welcome aboard and to hear about the principles of spiritual fitness. And for anybody that's been listening to the show for some time, we were off last week. And that is one of the things I kind of want to discuss. One of the principles of spiritual fitness lifestyle, things happen in our life that may take us away from a certain routine. And then how can we still stay on track? So because of the type of business I was in Nashville, Tennessee last week. And something I'm very consistent is on my yoga, is my yoga practice. And I was not, you know, physically could not go to the yoga studio that I was at. And so, you know, I'm on the plane early going to Nashville, and when we get off the plane, we had to go right to the hotel and go into these conferences, and really went to the end of the afternoon. And then, you know, that is time when you got to make the decision, you know, intuitively what is best for you. And as other people were going to happy hour or have a beer, which is all fine, you know, I hadn't had my yoga practice in, I hadn't any daily exercises, and I just knew I needed to do something. So I basically, the people that are with, I said, you know, I'll see you in a couple hours. I got into some workout clothes, went right to the weight room, and, you know, for myself, burned out a 2 mile run. I did some sun A's, some sun B's, but got creative with it. Was able to slow down, break a sweat, you know, get to my breath. And then that made the rest of the conference smooth. And I think that is, you know, part of the show that we've been talking about is to have some sort of routine that when even when you're off your routine, you have these disciplines in place where you can get back on track. So before we get started and I introduce my guests, you know, one of the spiritual fitness practices we do is daily reading, and a book that I've talked about that's been very powerful in my life for the last 10 years and we've been sharing on the show is Positive Thinking Every Day by Norman Vincent Peale. And this is one, you know, one of the first things that we read in the morning that just sets the tone for today. So today, April 11th, reads, "Those who are fired with an enthusiastic idea and who allow it to take hold and dominate their thoughts find that new worlds open for them. As long as enthusiasm holds out, so will new opportunities." Well, with that, let's be enthusiastic with our guest who is really shaping the way yoga is being done, and especially at this time of age, and that is Jonah Kest. Jonah was born into a yoga legacy with his father, Vinyasa yoga pioneer Johnny Kest, and his mother, Mila Kest, as one of the first yoga business owners and yoga teacher training programs in the Midwest. He was destined to follow the path. At the age of 3, Jonah was walking the yoga room with his dad, and shortly thereafter, he began to learn the importance of a daily practice and evening meditation. While his early interest included basketball, boxing, and running track, it became very clear that strength without flexibility would be a hard path. His breath became the very partner that he saw in every activity, every relationship, every moment. Enter Ashtanga Yoga. At 17, Jonah trained under his father to become a teacher. His passion and grace was evident. His equanimity strengthened with a daily meditation sip, and it was a natural evolution to teach. The mind-body connection influenced his life. Sharing the practice changed it. Today, Jonah is a well-traveled Ashtanga vinyasa teacher whose classes are both graceful and intense. Compassion and humility are just a few of the elements that Jonah seamlessly weaves through each healing practice. His plant-based diet and love for creating raw, rich, vegan meals has also become a passion and healthy modality. Jonah can be found and contacted on Instagram at KestYoga. Welcome, Jonah.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
Wow, we've been waiting a long time to get to this place.
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, well, I'm grateful that you're here today. And this is kind of special in many ways, folks. When I did my very first podcast, I had Jonah's dad, Johnny Kest, on the show. And shoot, I think that was at least a couple years ago. And I've been very fortunate to have Johnny in my life and Jonah's mother, Mila. And I've been very grateful to see Jonah and his practice over the last couple years and you doing all this traveling. And you know, what makes this special is one of the shows we've talked about is we're born into families and to understand that there's a purpose. And we all have certain upbringings. There's a purpose. And maybe one's childhood was better or not than someone else's. And that really doesn't matter because our own childhood is special to us. And then what we do with that platform, we take out to the world. And that's what I love talking about this is you've embraced yoga. And now I want to hear from you, man, what yoga has meant to you as far as all aspects in your life and to share to the world what you're doing.
Beautifully, so. Beautifully said, Chris. Yeah, it's I love what you said about how the family you're raised in is kind of like meant to be in the sense. And my pops always says, whatever you're looking for is looking for you in the sense. And oftentimes with yoga, it happens that you didn't find yoga, yoga found you. So it's really cool to be raised in a yoga family. And although the path wasn't really clear at first, I kind of had to find it my own. It was, I feel like it's pretty true that this is the path I'm going to be on. So,
yeah. So when did you know, when you said, okay, this is,
well, I remember growing up, it was like, I don't know, all throughout my life, I never really liked yoga. I kind of thought it was for girls. I thought it was too simple, thought I was too strong and cool. And I think I was about 17. I decided to skip track and I was like, you know what? I'm going to take teacher training. And I think it started physically for me. I'm like, I just really want to nail a handstand. I want to be able to do arm balances. And I kind of slowly started to see how cool my pops was. I was like, oh, this guy's got it going on, you know? So, but it came pretty clear to me at 17. And that's when I kind of like put my foot down and I'm like, you know what? I got to start doing a daily practice and meditation and stay consistent with it. And about 17 years old.
Okay. And how old are you today?
I'm 22.
Okay. So you've really been diving into this seriously, even though it's been through her life, the last 5 years has just been tremendous progress, it seems like.
Yeah. And, you know, at 17 is pretty much when I started sharing the practice, but it was kind of cool because even though I wasn't really like passionate about it growing up, it was always around me and I was always absorbing everything subconsciously. So when I started to teach it, almost, it just felt supernatural. Didn't have to really try it. And it just kind of spewed out all the stories and themes I heard as a kid just kind of came out really naturally. So it's just cool.
Right. And as a young man, I think that's one of the things, like you said, you know, and for all men of all ages, but you know, when you first hear yoga, you think, oh, it's a woman's practice. It's not that challenging or, you know, am I going to get a good workout? But really the yoga you teach, Hatha, Ashtanga, is a workout. And I guess, is there a way you can kind of just maybe communicate from a physicality standpoint to men what the benefits are?
Yeah, I mean, if you come to yoga, it's really a different kind of strength. I mean, you're going to have greater stamina, greater endurance. You're going to do a lot of postures that are weight-bearing. Essentially, will just strengthen your bones and muscles in a different kind of way. And I guess it's pretty much the best fitness on planet Earth. I mean, you have cardio, you have strength, you have flexibility, you have all aspects where usually if you had to get all three things, you'd have to do different workouts. Yeah. So it's kind of like everything in one, and not to mention you're strengthening your mind while you're doing it. Yeah. So it really doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, and I could attest to that, you know, and I think I've mentioned on some other shows as far as the physical aspect is, I've pretty much, what you could say, have done it all, but when I really embraced this yoga, I'd say a little over 4 years ago, kind of went back to doing some other things and say, I'll take yoga off that day. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden I was missing the yoga. And then what's so great, you think what your dad has taught, what you're teaching, what really all the teachers, you know, through that program have taught is you get to a place of where you're the creator of your own body. You're the own artist. So you could take this practice and make it your own. And exactly. I think that's what's so freeing about it. It's not like you have to do it this way and this way only.
Well, I wanted to touch on what you said just before that, how especially I want to speak to some of the younger guys who maybe are thinking about trying yoga or want to try it. It doesn't really have to replace whatever you're doing. Right. If you're a basketball player and you incorporate a daily yoga practice, it's only going to make your basketball better.
Right.
If you're whatever you're doing. So you don't need to be like, oh, if I try yoga or intimidated by it, oh, it's going to take away from whatever I'm doing. It's only going to amplify it. And it's right. going to make your practice stronger.
Good. And we're going to get right back to that, and then we're going to get right into the mind part of it. But right now, we're going to take a break from our beautiful sponsor, Dr. Nisha Shellam.
Learn why people fail to stay healthy. For example, diabetes and hypertension are symptoms, not diseases. They stem from three main reasons: inability to detox effectively, poor digestion, and long-term inflammation. Dr. Nisha Shellam can help you learn how and why these affect you and how to address each one systematically so you can truly discover the cause of the symptoms or disease and how to really resolve them if possible rather than simply manage them. Dr. Shellam believes you are your best doctor. Learn more about the functional medical way from a traditional MD who knows the science of the disease and understands the art of healing. Connect with Dr. Shellam at holisticicon.com. Consultations with Dr. Shellam are available regardless of where you live. Let Dr. Shellam help you resolve your health issues rather than simply manage them. Visit Dr. Shellam online now at holisticicon.com. That's holisticicon.com. Now, back to Spiritually Fit with Chris Forte on Empower Radio.
Welcome back, humble warriors. We're here with Jonah Kest talking yoga. And we're going to talk a little bit of meditation. We went to the break. We've just talked about, you know, how yoga, I think Jonah put it real well. If you're a basketball player, whatever you do, and it doesn't need to be even sports, and is if you have a daily yoga practice, it makes everything around you better, and it strengthens your mind and getting clarity. And with that goes is also meditation. Mm-hmm. And just in from your learnings, what can you tell us about meditation, and I guess maybe how it's connected to yoga, but also how it can help guide one in one's life?
Yeah, I think, you know, if meditation and yoga are both so connected, and a lot of teachers will say meditation is the highest form of yoga, because okay. ultimately what your yoga is preparing you for is to still your mind and to sit for longer periods of time. But in a really practical way that, you know, people can understand, meditation is simply just to tame your mind from your thoughts. Mm-hmm. So just to still your mind. And Kobe Bryant, he put it really well. I'm a huge basketball fan, if you haven't found that out already. He said it really well. He said he meditates because it doesn't exactly dictate his future, but it grounds him and sets him when he does it in the beginning of the day, so he can face whatever comes up throughout that day.
Yeah.
So it's really just a way for you to become more present mm-hmm. in all your relationships. It's a way for you to develop your equanimity, mm-hmm. which is your non-reactivity. So you're not just walking around like a volcano.
Right.
And in another simple way, meditation will really, if you're especially a student, it will strengthen your focus. Mm-hmm. So you can focus without being as distracted as easily.
So someone that's listening, let's just say, you know, they've heard about meditation and they're like, okay, I haven't meditated, you know, how can someone just start? What would you recommend to just start, an easy way to start?
Yeah. If you're listening to the show right now and meditation is something you're interested in, it really doesn't have to be hard. Meditation is a very simple practice. Okay. Most people think meditation is complicated, but I've heard this quote once. I can't remember who said it, but they said, meditation is a simple practice for complicated people.
That's great.
And
that's great.
Really, the way you can do it is right before you go to bed tonight, just find any comfortable seated position, place your hands in your lap, and you can set a timer if you'd like on your phone, or you don't even need a timer, but just observe your breath. And if your mind is probably going to wander away, it's going to go into its thoughts. But as soon as you catch it, it's really important to bring it right back to your breath. So you just want to observe the inhale and the exhale, almost like you're like a gatekeeper standing at the bridge of your nostrils.
There you go. Very well said.
That's the simplest way you can meditate, is just through the breath.
Great. So I would say that to all our listeners is, and I'm going to do that too, let's make that an exercise tonight to at least maybe try for, 3 to 5 minutes.
3 to 5 minutes.
And if you go longer, and that's how you start.
And I'm telling you, you'll notice the difference. You may even fall asleep faster. I mean, It doesn't even need to be before you go to bed. I mean, next time before your next interview, before your next business meeting, just take a few minutes to close your eyes and follow your breath.
Beautifully said. So, I've been trying to get Jonah, on the show for at least several months, but, Jonah has been traveling all over, not only the country, but all over the world. And we made it a point that when you got back from India, we'd get you on the show. And I definitely want to hear about that experience. So I'm just going to, here we are. So tell me about how that maybe is changed you, or what you saw over there, or what you want to share right now with us about that trip.
Yeah, India was special. I've always wanted to go. I just didn't really know when I was going to go. But I woke up to an email one morning from a software company based out of India, and they wanted to bring yoga to their employees because their employees they're so type A, they're so smart that they wanted to bring yoga in to help increase their productivity and just overall increase the quality of their life. So immediately I jumped on that opportunity, and I hopped on a plane with a few months of planning, of course, and brought some yoga culture into their companies. And they have over 20,000 employees.
Wow.
So we didn't get to all of them, but we got to a big chunk in some of their corporate campuses. But it was really, I think, more special for me to go to India and go with a purpose in sharing yoga instead of just wandering around the country, which I'm sure I would have learned a lot still, but I learned a lot that way.
Wow. And think, because that's where, yoga was founded in India, right?
I was thinking to myself, why the heck am I, aren't I supposed to go to India to learn yoga?
Right.
Not teach it, and my first time especially, but I think I was actually more of a student and learned more just from being there than anything.
What would you say, if you had to take the one thing, if you had to say one thing? I know there's probably a bunch, but is there anything that stuck out that you'll take for the rest of your life during that?
Yeah, there's a lot of lessons, and I think it didn't really come clear to me, and I kind of put it into words after I came back. But the biggest lesson I've learned from India is that you don't need a lot of space outside of you to generate space inside of you. Because India, when you go there, it's so busy. It's so chaotic.
Right.
There's almost like no space. Even when you're walking through the markets or whatever, the homes are very small. So you realize these people are just so happy. They have so much freedom inside. So, but the other biggest lesson I've learned, and it kind of, people may be able to relate to this more, is I've completely let go of materialism.
Good.
I mean, it's just when you see what's going on over there, you're like, I cannot. Who cares about fancy clothes or cars? Right. I mean, it's so irrelevant.
Right.
So that was a huge takeaway for me. But just being there, and you just learn so much by going on the trains and the buses. You develop patience and all these qualities. All these things come up, man. It's something you just have to be there. An experience.
Okay. I want to dive a little bit now into your plant-based diet.
Yeah.
And that is, I think, very critical that, of course, that, it's all intertwined, yoga, meditation, plant-based. And not everybody, I've said on the show before, I'm not vegan, but I eat like one, but
I love that.
Yeah. Is if you don't realize, though, when you make that change and you really start putting the right food and the right liquids in your body, that feeling you get of this, of just the feeling of health. And so tell us, at such a young age, which is amazing, that the commitment to this and you find passion on it. I mean, what can you tell us that it's done for you, and what can you relay out, especially to your generation, the younger generation, of how it could help them?
Yeah, well, first I just want to say I love how you put that because I'm a, how'd you say it? I'm a vegan, but
I don't say I'm a vegan, but I eat like one.
Right. That's right. The idea. Cause right. First of all, no one's going to be perfect.
Right.
And if
right.
you want to see a perfect vegan, right. go to India and study with the Jain yogis yeah. because what they do is they walk around with a broom and they sweep in front of them so they don't step on any bugs.
Right.
And they wear something over their mouth so they don't inhale any insects. Wow.
There
so
you go. That's like, the perfect vegan.
That's the extreme.
Right.
Versus here where right. the idea is just to do as little harm as possible
right.
and have an awareness and compassion behind your diet.
Right.
So the way I've kind of broken it up is there's three types of diets out there. There's a, the first diet is an ego-centered diet where you are, I would say, yeah, ego-centered diet is where basically you eat based upon your cravings and your addictions. Okay. So, oh, I'm craving a donut here. I'm craving a sugar here. I'm just going to eat that because I'm craving it. It's really kind of a weak diet. Mm-hmm. There's no really like mental strength or thought behind it. And the next diet is a health-centered diet. And that basically goes into you're just going to eat whatever you think is healthiest for your body. There's no other. It's pretty factual. It's like paleo or whatever science is backing up. And then I think the most advanced, the highest form of your diet is a heart-centered diet. Mm. And this is where everything you're eating is on your plate has little harm and has compassion. So that's kind of the way I've broken it up, and I've kind of moved to a heart-centered diet, even though maybe, who knows, it's not the healthiest. I think personally a plant-based diet is the healthiest, but you're also generating good karma as well.
Yeah, well said. And you know, we've had, and I know you know Dr. Joel Kahn, and
yeah, he's
you know, he's someone who's very passionate about it and has been living it, and he's been on our show. And, you know, I think... you know, the heart center is really taking it to that next level, which mm-hmm. is great. And, but the feeling you get when you just start eating consciously healthy,
oh, yeah.
you know, and what that does for, I mean, your overall body, mind, and spirit.
I mean, I love how this show is called Spiritual Fitness because a diet is so related to spirituality.
Right.
People totally disconnect those two
right.
things. But if you look at every religion, yeah. there's always diets
yes.
involved in there.
Yes.
So that's actually what the third, if anyone's seen the movie, What the Health?
Yes.
They're coming out with another one okay. called, I can't say the name of it yet,
okay.
but it's about how diet is influenced by spirituality.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But as far as just physical health, I mean, I've been a vegan pretty much my whole life. I've had ins and outs where I wanted to experiment mm-hmm. for myself. But ultimately, if you want to live the highest vibration and be as light and strong as possible, you can't eat dead carcasses. You
okay.
just, it won't, you won't be strong.
Got it. So we have a few minutes left and I really, you know, I'm so, you're one of the youngest guests I've ever had. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about the millennials, the millennials, the millennials. And actually my heart goes out to the millennial generation because even my generation X was kind of like, if you look over through the whole, our generation, we're kind of a broken generation, meaning like, you know, maybe our religion let us down or the way we grew up of getting a job 25 years and, you know, and retiring, that life has not been non-existent. So we were kind of like a generation who's kind of had in a way fight through itself. And I think that's when someone looks in the mirror and starts asking a question, why am I here? What's my purpose? And so our generation has really not been able to be a leader for the millennial generation. And so the millennial generation is like, just like, well, what the heck's going on? Right. And you get the reputation of maybe get off your ass or do something. But
yeah.
You know, as a young man and, you know, and your dad, knowing your dad, knowing your mom, what is yoga? I want you to speak to your generation,
yeah,
your
yeah.
fans. How can they
sure.
kind of get back in the game with enthusiasm and life is beautiful and make a difference in the world?
Yeah, well, and I don't want to keep this just about myself too, but just millennials in general, just this generation, is there's such an opportunity for information to spread so vaguely because of social media and Instagram right. and Facebook.
Right.
And I think that... this is obviously a new idea. It's a little bit radical, but it's becoming so mainstream. And I think we all have an opportunity to inspire other people and just lead by example. And that the way to do that is just make the change first within yourself, and people will see the changes and they'll follow you and be inspired by it. So
awesome. And Where can people find you? Because, you know, young people need to find you, not just young people, all people, but, you know, you're a person that I want younger people to kind of follow. And because you're all over the country and maybe they can run into you at a yoga studio or what have you. So how can people find Jonah?
So the best way to find me is on Instagram. You can just send me a message or comment on a photo. I'd love to share some recipes I have with you or any resources if you need support in transferring to a vegan lifestyle or even want to get into yoga. I have some online videos on CodyApp.com. We have some yin classes for beginners. We have some strong vinyasa classes. So any way I can help, just send me an email, even jonahkestyoga@gmail.com, and I'd love to support you on your journey.
All right, my brother, we finally did it.
Chris, thanks so much for having me, dude.
Thank you, my brother.
I'll see you in class tomorrow.
You got it. More about the spiritual fitness lifestyle can be found in my book, The Humble Warrior, which can be found on my website, chrisforte.com or Amazon. You could also listen to any episodes of Spiritually Fit on my Instagram page, Chris Forte Humble Warrior. If you want to connect with me, please send me an email to chris@chrisforte.com. Would love to help you any way I can on your spiritual journey. Have a wonderful week, everyone. Live brave.